Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, September 27th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Closed-door remarks from President Trump add fuel to the impeachment probe.
Peloton becomes the latest IPO to fall flat with investors.
Turmoil continues at WeWork as S&P cuts its rating further into junk.
And chip stocks slump after a downbeat forecast from Micron.
The White House assesses the impact from the Ukraine phone call summary, plus the president slashes the cap on the U.S. refugee program. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Mets blew a lead, lost to the Marlins. Thursday night football, the Eagles held on and won in Green Bay.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Inovalon, a leading provider of cloud-based platforms empowering data-driven healthcare for insurance companies, physicians, pharmacy, and pharmaceutical companies. Inovalon, data has a story to tell. Inovalon gives it a voice.
U.S. futures and European stocks gaining this morning, 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up about 6 points, Dow futures up 46, NASDAQ futures up 12. DAX in Germany is up 0.5%, CAC in Paris is up 0.2%, and the FTSE 100 up 0.9%. Nikkei 225 in Japan down 0.8%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 1.70%. Yield on the two-year, 1.66%. NYMEX crude oil is up about 0.2% or 9 cents at $56.50 a barrel. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the latest developments on the Democratic push to impeach President Trump. Bloomberg News has obtained audio of a closed-door meeting the president held with U.S. diplomats where he appeared to threaten the whistleblower whose complaint is at the heart of impeachment efforts.
I want to know who's the person that gave the whistleblower, who's the person that gave the whistleblower the information? Because that's close to a spy. You know what we used to do in the old days when we were smart, right? The spies and treason, right? We used to handle it a little differently than we do now.
That thinly veiled threat and the reference to the whistleblower as a spy could add fuel to the impeachment probe since government whistleblowers are protected under federal law. We'll bring you more on this developing story shortly in world and national news and throughout the morning on Bloomberg Radio.
But first, as some of our top stories in the world of business, Peloton had a trading debut to forget. Shares of the company fell 11% in the first day of trading. We caught up with Peloton CEO John Foley after the lackluster IPO.
You know, some disappointment, but the biggest thing is we're playing the long game. We see this as, you know, literally building millions and millions of subscribers around the globe in the coming years.
And the slump makes Peloton the latest in a long list of unprofitable tech startups to flop with public investors.
On the heels of that IPO, Endeavor Group pulled plans for its public offering. The talent agency run by media mogul Ari Emanuel called off its $400 million IPO just hours before the stock was set to start trading. Sources now tell us Endeavor's offering won't happen until next year at the earliest.
Meanwhile, we have news of more turmoil at WeWork. The company's bonds fell to the lowest level in 6 months after S&P Global Ratings cut its credit rating further into junk. Now WeWork is looking to sell some assets. We get details from Bloomberg's Ellen Hewitt in our Bloomberg 960 San Francisco newsroom.
We're looking to see just how WeWork is going to make it work through the rest of this year without the cash that it expected to get from the IPO that has now been delayed. So in addition to three side businesses that WeWork has acquired in the last few years, that includes Meetup, Conductor, and Manage My Queue. Those are up for sale. The company's also looking to sell the $60 million Gulfstream jet that they used to use for former CEO Adam Neumann to get around. They are prepping for other ways to cut costs that include likely job cuts in the thousands. And this is a company that is about 12,000 people big. So this is going to be some pretty serious changes up ahead. We just don't know the details of that yet.
And we're also hearing that two WeWork executives with close ties to former CEO Adam Neumann are leaving the company. Sources say We Company's chief product officer and the head of WeWork Japan are departing. One is Newman's brother-in-law, while the other is a close friend.
Meanwhile, earnings at Jefferies Financial Group took a hit from WeWork's drop in valuation. Third quarter revenue came in below the lowest estimates after Jefferies' banking unit wrote down the value of its investment in WeWork by $146 million.
Shares of Micron Technology down 6% in early trading after the company issued a disappointing forecast. Micron said global trade tensions may prolong the slump in semiconductors, with guidance indicating a year-on-year sales decline of 20%. Dan Morgan is a senior portfolio manager at Synovus Trust.
Everybody was looking for this to be the bottom of the valley, and then we're going to start going back up the staircase starting in the first quarter of 2020. And unfortunately, based on the guidance, it kind of looks like it's going to be somewhat flat or about the same or even slightly down in regards to gross margin. So I think that's what really disappointed people in terms of the headline news coming out of Micron.
And Micron has been hit particularly hard by U.S. export restrictions that limit sales to China's Huawei technologies.
Facebook could be heading back to Capitol Hill. Bloomberg News has learned the company's negotiating with a congressional committee for Chief Operating Officer Sheryl Sandberg to testify as soon as next month. We get the story now from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The testimony would come amid questions about the social media giant's market power, along with its plans for a digital cryptocurrency called Libra. According to sources, Sandberg is expected to appear at a hearing as soon as late October, but officials are still negotiating the details with the House Financial Services Committee. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. And on the economic front, we get key data on consumer spending today. Economists say U.S. spending likely increased 0.3% in August. Here with more is Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Bloomberg Economics says recent strength in consumer spending appears to be coming out of savings, and that could mean consumers are spending on borrowed time. Look at the data. In July, consumer spending rose by the most since April, but the savings rate dropped to the lowest since November. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. And in the UK, the Bank of England may have to cut interest rates even if the UK avoids a no-deal Brexit. That's according to policymaker Michael Saunders, who was previously considered the most hawkish member of the Monetary Policy Committee. The pound is weaker following his remarks, currently trading at 1.2281 against the dollar. Futures on Wall Street are pointed higher. S&P futures are up 6.5 points. Dow futures ahead by 49, and NASDAQ futures a gain of 13 points. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. At 5:07 on Wall Street, Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Good Friday morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The White House is trying to figure out the impact of the release of the Ukraine phone call summary. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
This because in the House Intelligence Committee hearing, it was ascertained the report was held for a while because some administration members thought the notes could hurt the president. The president finally demanded it be released because he thought there was nothing wrong.
My call was perfect.
But the account shows that most of the 30-minute call focused on the president asking for help and getting information on the Bidens. So Committee Chair Adam Schiff says, sum total.
When a president is soliciting foreign assistance again in another presidential election, there can be no claim of ignorance this time.
And says it gives a perfect roadmap to the investigation and to impeachment. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
According to the New York Times, the White House has learned that a CIA officer had lodged the allegations against President Trump. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton calls the move toward an impeachment inquiry against President Trump a moment of reckoning. Clinton says President Trump poses a clear and present danger to the country.
It's not just what we now know happened in a phone call between this president and his counterpart in Ukraine. We are living through a crisis in our democracy.
Clinton, speaking during a pro-choice event in Washington, D.C., says there's more at stake. The State Department says President Trump has decided to slash the American refugee program by almost half. The Trump administration says it would accept 18,000 refugees in the next 12 months, down from 30,000. During the President Obama era, especially his final year in office, he said 110,000 should be allowed. The UK flag tanker Stena Imperial left the Iranian port of Bandar Abbas today, more than 2 months after it was seized by Islamic Revolutionary Guards. The ship was seized after the UK held another ship in Gibraltar. Get ready to reach deeper in your wallet to pay more for tolls. The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey voted to increase tolls at Hudson River bridges and tunnels. The new tolls go into effect in January. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 5:09 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, early in this NFL season, a lot of these primetime standalone games have been lackluster. That was not the case last night in Green Bay. A good one in the NFC. Packers looking to go to 4-0. Eagles desperate after two straight losses. Philly led by 7 with Aaron Rodgers and the Pack driving in the final minute.
Shotgun for Rodgers. Two receivers right. Rodgers looks that way. Throws. Popped up in the air. Intercepted. Nigel Bradham's got it off the ricochet, and Bradham is dropped down at the 21. The Philadelphia Eagles come up with a huge turnover, and the Packers are denied.
We won the call. The Eagles with the win, 34-27. Big night for Jordan Howard. He scored 3 touchdowns. Rodgers in defeat, threw for over 400 yards with the Green Bay defense, which had allowed only 35 points for the first 3 games, gave up 34 last night. Giants and Redskins Sunday at MetLife. Daniel Jones' first start, of course, was great. Now comes his first at home. His coach is Pat Shurmur.
We all know this is a game of consistency. Sometimes it's 4, sometimes it's 6, sometimes it's 7, and sometimes it's 8 days. You play another one, and you got to be at your best. And he's aware of that. He played a lot of football in college for a really, really fine coach. So he understands the process, and that's part of his charm, too.
Redskins come in 0-3. A return to MetLife for Landon Collins. Star safety for 4 years for Big Blue. Mets lost to the Marlins 4-2. Might have been Zach Wheeler's last start as a Met free agent to be. He had a 2-0 lead in the 8th inning when the Marlins hit back-to-back home runs, including a pinch-hit homer by ex-Met Curtis Granderson. Yanks are in Texas, still have a chance for home field in the American League, although Houston's magic number is 1. Astros lost last night. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Tune in tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. We'll speak with Pete Vlastelica, CEO of Activision Esports, on the esports business model and the rise of the industry. You can catch that conversation tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio. Or anytime you want, if you listen to Bloomberg Business of Sports as a podcast. This is Bloomberg. Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com. Burden Accountants and Advisors. They listen, they solve, they do.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures and European equities are gaining this morning despite a down day for stocks in Asia. Equities there posting their biggest weekly decline since early August. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with the very latest. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. The topics in Japan led declines as more than half of listed companies traded without rights to their dividends. The index finished lower by 1.2% in Tokyo. In Seoul, the Kospi was weighed down by chipmakers Samsung and SK Hynix after Micron's forecast disappointed, while Tencent weighed on Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index. Investors who expected fireworks in Chinese stocks ahead of the nation's 70th anniversary next week found themselves disappointed. Despite some late-stage buying on Friday afternoon, the benchmark index of the Shanghai Composite was down almost 2.5% over the course of the week, the worst among major markets in Asia. Chinese markets will be closed all next week for the Golden Week celebrations. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. And right now, S&P futures are up 5 points. Dow futures up 42. NASDAQ futures up at 10. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.70%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.65%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.3% or 18 cents at $56.59 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.7% or $10.70 to $15.04.40 an ounce. The euro 1.0921 against the dollar. British pound 1.2284 and the yen 107.90. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Top administration officials knew about a whistleblower complaint soon after it happened. According to several media reports, a U.S. official and another person familiar with the matter say the White House and the Justice Department learned about a CIA officer's concerns about President Donald Trump around the same time the person filed the complaint. The intelligence official initially filed a complaint about Trump's dealings with Ukraine with the CIA, which then alerted the White House and Justice Department. The Trump administration wants to cap the number of refugees admitted into the U.S. to 18,000, the lowest number since the resettlement program was created in 1980. In Thursday night NFL action, the Eagles beat the Packers 34-27. In baseball, the Mets lost along with the Red Sox, the Nationals, A's, and Giants won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It's 520 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Our guest on this Friday morning, Mark Grant, Chief Global Strategist at B. Riley. Good talking with you this morning, Mark, with so much focus this week from markets on all the fast-moving developments in the impeachment saga in Washington. How do you advise traders to position themselves amid all this uncertainty?
So I've invented a new word for this, Nathan. I call it polynomics, which means that the politics of the country are dominating, if you will, or outstretching the actual economic data as we go back and forth between what could happen, might happen, should happen. I'm taking no political view here, but what I am saying is that the markets have gotten more fragile, more dangerous even, I would say, with all this political rancor going on, and means you've got to pay particular attention to Grant's first 10 rules, which are preservation of capital.
I mean, the polynomics, as you put it, were happening well before the impeachment drive happened in Washington. I mean, I guess you're talking a lot about the U.S.-China trade story as well, right?
Well, I think there are two Game of Thrones taking place right now in the world, and one is with China, with the tariffs. And the second is that the ECB is lowered rates so much for the European nations, and it's my opinion that the reason for this is that a lot of the countries in Europe can't afford their budgets or their social programs, and so the ECB, of course, has made money from nothing but thin air, a keystroke on a computer, and then they've taken the money and bought bonds and driven interest rates down to nothing. And to point that out specifically, Italy, which is certainly has economic issues, they just did a 10-year, the average yield was 0.88%, which is virtually half of the American 10-year. So in terms of the fundamental economics, it makes no sense. But in terms of what the ECB has done with creating this, I call it pixie dust money, it makes all the sense in the world, but it's causing issues. And to your point earlier, which I think is correct, there were, certainly a lot of politics prior to what's going on, but this impeachment noise has certainly ratcheted it up, and you've got to, I think, pay very close attention, as I said, to preserving your capital in this kind of environment.
When you talk about preserving your capital, what haven plays are looking good to you?
So I deal with a number of some of the biggest institutions in the world, and then I also deal with some individual clients, and what I've suggested for them is a strategy of half corporate bonds and half closed-end funds, and I think that's a decent way to deal with this and still get some kind of return on your money.
Is there a risk of bubbles in certain risk assets when you talk about defensive stocks? Is there a risk that some of those sectors could get overcrowded?
I think a lot of people and a lot of institutions are scurrying around to see what they can do to deal with the current environment. I know that the insurance companies, pension funds, number of institutions, mortgage companies, even Wall Street investment banks, are when the 10-year is yielding 1.7, it's very tough to cover your costs, much less make any money. And so there's a big scurry right now to see where people can get some yield and where people can what the alternatives are just for appreciation in the equity markets. It's what I call a borrower's paradise right now, but it's very tough for, as I said, pension funds, seniors, retirees. Very difficult time to maintain your income.
Mark Grant, Chief Global Strategist, B. Riley, thank you for being here with us on Bloomberg Daybreak. Good talking with you. Taking a look at the markets at the moment, modest gains for equity futures this morning. S&P futures are higher by 6 points right now. Dow futures up 49. NASDAQ futures higher by 12 points. The 10-year's down 3/32, yield 1.70%. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's brought to you by MBAF, CPAs and advisors dedicated to solving complex tax and accounting challenges, identifying opportunities and helping businesses maximize profits. Learn more at MBAFCPA.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Eisner Amper. Taxes are one of the certainties of life, but what worked for corporate taxpayers in the past may not work today. Eisner Amper can help. Visit EisnerAmper.com/tax certainty.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher following the latest developments on Democrats' push to impeach President Trump. Bloomberg News has obtained audio of a closed-door meeting the president held with U.S. diplomats, where he appeared to threaten the whistleblower, whose complaint is at the heart of impeachment efforts.
I want to know who's the person that gave the whistleblower. Who's the person that gave the whistleblower the information? Because that's close to a spy. You know what we used to do in the old days when we were smart, right? The spies and treason, right? We used to handle it a little differently than we do now.
That thinly veiled threat could add fuel to the impeachment probe since government whistleblowers are protected under federal law. We'll bring you more on this developing story coming up shortly in world and national news.
First, though, we want to get to some of the top stories in the world of business this morning. Peloton had a trading debut to forget, with shares of the fitness company falling 11% in the first day of trading. Techonomy founder David Kirkpatrick says talk of Peloton's focus on tech may have pushed the valuation too high.
Just because a company uses a lot of software and has an app or has a screen, it doesn't mean that they're a tech company. I mean, this is basically a company that sells exercise equipment that's being given an $8 billion valuation. I think that's illogical.
And after Peloton flopped with investors, we saw Endeavor Group pull plans for its public offering. The talent agency run by Ari Emanuel called off its $400 million IPO just hours before the stock was set to start trading.
You know, WeWork had a day to forget, too. The company saw its credit rating cut by S&P Global Ratings. It's now looking to sell assets, including former CEO Adam Neumann's private jet.
And shares of Micron Technology are down almost 6% in early trading after the company issued a disappointing forecast. Here are the details. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The report suggests a memory chip industry slump isn't over yet. It now says revenue will be $5 billion plus or minus $200 million. Analysts were projecting $4.78 billion. The Boise, Idaho-based company is being buffeted by rising global tension. The China-U.S. trade war has limited its access to the Chinese market, the biggest in the world. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. S&P futures up 7 points this morning. Dow futures up 56 and NASDAQ futures up 15. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Here's Michael Barr to tell us more of what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The Trump campaign says $13 million were raised online to bolster the president's reelection effort after the launch of an impeachment inquiry. The president's supporters are rallying around him despite the potentially explosive allegations in the whistleblower complaint declassified yesterday. It details claims that Trump used his official powers to solicit interference in the 2020 election during a call with Ukraine's leader. House Republicans say Democrats are turning the impeachment proceedings into a circus. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy says Speaker Nancy Pelosi went against House rules by starting the impeachment proceedings without bringing the matter to a vote on the floor.
The Democrats promised they would be different.
if America trusted them with the majority. They have failed the American public. They have gone against the rules of this House simply for one thing, their own politics.
According to the New York Times, the White House has learned the whistleblower is a CIA officer who worked at the White House at one point. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says the move towards an impeachment inquiry against President Trump is a moment of reckoning. During a pro-choice event in Washington, D.C., Clinton says President Trump poses a clear and present danger to the country.
We knew he was a corrupt businessman who cheated people. We knew that his campaign invited foreign adversaries to tamper with our elections. And now we know that in the course of his duties as our president, he's endangered us all by putting his personal and political interests ahead of the interests of the American people.
Clinton went on to say that we are living through a crisis in our democracy. President Trump has decided to cut the American refugee cap from 30,000 to 18,000 for the next 12 months. Iran state media says a UK-flagged tanker has left an Iranian port. The Stena Impero has been held by Iran since July. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani is urging the U.S. to cease this policy of maximum pressure in favor of dialogue and logic and reason, Rouhani through an interpreter.
We say this is the wrong precondition. This must be taken off the table. The sanctions must be dissolved.
Rouhani accused Washington of engaging in international piracy against Iran by reimposing sanctions after the U.S. withdrew from the 2015 nuclear deal. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. Just before 5:36 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashow.
Nathan, Thursday Night Football in Green Bay. Packers came in 3-0. Eagles off two losses by a combined 7 points. This game was tied in the fourth quarter.
Wentz under center, two receivers to the right. They have pounded the football in this second half. On the ground, give it to Howard up the middle, second effort, hammers it in, touchdown Eagles.
Third touchdown of the night for Jordan Howard. Westwood won the call. Eagles then intercepted Aaron Rodgers and won it 34-27. Carson Wentz, 3 TD passes, 2 for Rodgers. He had 422 yards, 180 going to Devontae Adams. Giants off their first win, host winless Washington Sunday. Redskins coach Jay Gruden on the Giants' new quarterback.
Well, he's very talented. I think the biggest thing you have to understand is, fortunately, we've played Wentz, we've played Prescott, and Trubisky. All of them can move around. And I think that was the effect that he had, Daniel Jones, on the offense last week against Tampa Bay. He had 3 or 4 plays outside the pocket were good. So I think his mobility is something the Giants haven't had. Now, Eli's leadership is obviously second to none over there, but this guy's a little bit more mobile and give you some issues outside the pocket.
Redskins fans calling for Gruden to bench Case Keenum and start their first-round pick, Dwayne Haskins, but he's sticking with Keenum, who had great success in Minnesota when his offensive coordinator was Giants coach Pat Shurmur. Zach Wheeler may not be a Met next season. He'll be a free agent. Last night, his hit broke up a scoreless tie. Seventh inning, Mets led 2-0 in the eighth. Wheeler gave up back-to-back home runs. Edwin Diaz served up yet another in the ninth. The Marlins won 4-2. Yankees in Texas tonight. At stake this weekend, who ends up with the record for most home runs of the season? The Twins have hit 301. The Yankees have hit 299. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashow. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on McDonald's CEO Steve Easterbrook taking the company high-tech with an investment in big data. Thomas Buckley wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
It's going to suggest items based on similar purchases at similar locations and the weather and all sorts of other variables that really allow McDonald's to process a lot of data and gauge what's best to sell at any given time.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week on newsstands now and online at businessweek.com. Terminal customers can subscribe to the magazine at MAG Go. You can listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Nathan. Just a month after it sold for $909 million, Manhattan's Coca-Cola building has changed hands again, this time for $955 million. A source familiar with the deal tells Bloomberg a partnership, including developers Michael Schfo and Bill Gilley Group, bought the 18-story property on 5th Avenue and 55th Street in a deal that closed this week. Federal authorities in Philadelphia have launched a probe in connection with New Jersey's multi-billion-dollar corporate tax incentive program. Citing sources familiar with it, the Philadelphia Inquirer reports FBI agents have interviewed potential witnesses over the past month. And the hourly minimum wage in Connecticut goes up to $11 an hour Tuesday. That was approved this spring. It increases to $15 by 2023. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. David?
Thank you, Ed. It is 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, the Endeavor Group talent agency run by media mogul Ari Emanuel postpones its IPO just hours before trading was set to begin.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. Exxon is selling $4.5 billion of assets in Norway.
I'm Roger Hearing, Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the public borrowing implications of Boris Johnson's pledges on public spending.
I'm Ed Corey on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting shares of Tesla soared after Elon Musk emailed employees to say the carmaker has a chance to top the vehicle delivery record it set in the second quarter.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. And on the automotive front as well, Toyota is raising its stake in Subaru to 20%. Japan's number one automaker is deepening its ties with the smaller company as it faces the future of new technology and business models. And Delta Airlines is dramatically expanding its footprint in South America, agreeing to a $2.3 billion deal with LATAM Airlines, giving it a 20% stake in the region's largest carrier. The Tri-State Business Report was brought to you by Virgin Atlantic. Over 300 hours of onboard entertainment, flat beds for napping, and afternoon tea. Daily nonstop flights to the UK in partnership with Delta Airlines.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and European stocks are rising along with U.S. stock index futures while treasuries edge lower before a key inflation report in the world's largest economy. The pound is weakening for a third day, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 6.5 points, Dow futures up 50, NASDAQ futures up 14. The DAX in Germany is up 0.7%. 10-year treasury down 3/32, yield 1.70%, yield on the 2-year 1.66%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.1% or 6 cents at $56.47 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.8% or $12.10 at $15.03.10 an ounce. The euro 1.0926 against the dollar. The yen is at 107.93. British pound at 1.2287. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Vice President Mike Pence is reported to have privately counseled President Trump against releasing the rough transcript of President Trump's call with his Ukrainian counterpart, but eventually sided with others in the White House, arguing in favor of its release. Pence raised concerns about the precedent the release would set. Meanwhile, according to the New York Times, the White House learned the whistleblower is a CIA officer who worked at the White House at one point. Income inequality is growing in the U.S. Census Bureau figures show the gap between the haves and the have-nots grew last year to its highest level in more than 50 years of tracking. In Thursday night NFL action, the Eagles beat the Packers 34-27. In baseball, the Mets lost along with the Red Sox, the Nationals, A's, and Giants won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios as we continue to follow all the latest headlines in the impeachment story. We bring in Brown University political science professor Wendy Schiller to look at where things stand now. Wendy, welcome back. Interesting headline just reported there by Michael Barr that the Wall Street Journal is reporting that the vice president privately urged President Trump not to release the rough transcript of the phone call. Where do things stand right now in your view?
Well, you know, I was doing a little bit of history just to look back on the Clinton impeachment timeline. And I had said the other day that I thought that Pelosi could wait for a pretty long time, you know, use this as a vehicle to look at lots of things the president may or may not have done that would constitute impeachable offenses. But the Clinton timeline, when the Republicans decided in 98 to go forward with impeachment proceedings, was pretty short. They started, you know, officially in the early October, first week in October, and they impeached in the first week in December. So it sort of looks like they can't, the Democrats can't prolong this for a very long time, and it's clear it might do some damage to the Democratic Party nomination process. So I think while she's not going to speed it up, you know, super speedy, I think they sort of have an idea they want to get this thing done by December. In other words, impeach and then send it to the Senate.
Yeah, raises an interesting point about the fact that the congressional calendar perhaps might be working against the Democrats here. They've got a recess coming up, what, Monday?
Yeah, but they, I mean, just because they go into a recess doesn't mean that they can't do the background investigation work, right? They can't hold hearings per se, but it doesn't mean that they can't do the background work. So they can certainly keep, you know, they can sort of interview people, they can issue subpoenas, they can do those sorts of things. Their investigatory powers do not cease just because they're in recess.
What about the release of this audio and now video that Bloomberg News has obtained of the president disparaging the whistleblower? Does that do damage to the president?
You know, I just never understand Trump's strategy of picking a fight with the CIA. You know, I mean, clearly he, you know, sort of has a mixed relationship with the FBI. We know that, right? And the people that were his nemesis in the FBI are essentially gone, the top leadership. But the CIA knows a lot. And they, you know, they really have a lot at their fingertips. So if there's other wrongdoing that people have been hesitant to come forward to and they happen to work in the CIA, why would you risk that if you're Donald Trump? This is something I just never understand about the president.
Is there a risk of lashing out at a whistleblower in the way he has now documented, given the protections that surround whistleblowers? A lot of Democrats are saying that, you know, this could put a chilling effect, a potentially dangerous chilling effect on whistleblowers in the future.
I don't think this is anything different than we've seen from this president. You know, if you are perceived to be his enemy, he goes after you. And we have a nation of free speech. He can now extend that speech in social media. He feels no bounds. He literally does not feel bounded by almost anything. And I think if you think about it, that's what the fear is in terms of the Democratic Party moving forward with impeachment. Yes, it's political. But it's also, can you have a president of the United States with essentially unilateral executive power that we've granted the president, feeling that there are no boundaries to his behavior whatsoever? And that the framers did worry about that, and we have to worry about that in a world where the president has enormously more power than they even conceived that he would have when they wrote the Constitution.
Is that a worry that you see extending to Republican support for this president? I know we've had a lot of reporters from Bloomberg News on Capitol Hill trying to get Senate Republicans on the record on where they stand with things right now, and they have been very reticent to say much of anything to our reporters.
You know, it's a different political world than it's ever been before, but I do think that the older Republicans who've lived through an era of deep partisanship and, you know, fighting battles about all sorts of things may be sort of wondering why the younger generation doesn't see this as more of a crisis as it is. I mean, Republicans are for limited power. They want limited federal government, limited power. Why would they then support a president who's exercising enormous power, vast power, and feels unchecked? It just seems to run counter to everything the Republican Party seems to say that it stands for.
So do you see this as a breaking point for the Republican Party? I mean, there has been enormous support for this president on the Republican side up to now.
I think they won't convict him. I mean, if McConnell even holds a trial, which is not in the Constitution, I double checked that too. It's not in the Constitution that they have to hold a trial. They can hold a trial. And if they do, the Supreme Court justice presides, Chief Justice Roberts, but they don't have to. It's not inconceivable to me that McConnell says this isn't worth doing. We're not going to do it. And that really scares you, right? Because that thinks that breaks the system. On the other hand, you know, that's where we are in partisan politics. So I don't see the Republicans breaking. I see some Republicans deciding that they're just going to go down with the ship in terms of being on board with the president on impeachment. But, you know, a year is a long time, and we are a way long time away from the 2020 election. You know the Democratic frontrunners will make a big deal of this. You know Biden certainly will, but Warren will too, and Sanders will, and it will never go away for the president. Once the House has voted, it's still there. And again, that targets suburban voters, moderate Republicans, people who are uncomfortable with this president. The best the Democrats can still hope for is that they stay home in 2020.
Well, we may be a long way from the general election in 2020, but the nomination caucuses and primaries are coming up fairly quickly for the Democrats. I mean, you got to think right now, given the timeline that you've laid out, the historic timeline, this is going to dominate at least the primary season for Democrats over the next couple of months here, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, it will definitely take away a lot of attention. It will take away a lot of momentum, as I've said, I think, for Elizabeth Warren. However, if the Democrats can follow pretty much the playbook the Republicans did in 1998 and get this done by early December, then the voting doesn't start till the beginning of February. So they'll have all of January to kind of move forward and make it an issue. And basically, the Democrats are going to run in 2020 saying, listen, we couldn't get this guy out of office on impeachment. We convicted him. Impeached him. And we think he's really abusing the power of the office. So now it's up to the voters. Now the Democrats have to get out in force and take us home and defeat this person in the election. So it will become a rallying cry for the Democrats. And I think that whichever candidate embraces that rallying cry sooner rather than later, I think will benefit from that.
And this is coming at a really tough time for Joe Biden. Obviously, the focus of President Trump's defenses as this impeachment goes forward. And now we're seeing Elizabeth Warren rising in the polls as Biden seems to be fading somewhat. I mean, how difficult is this going to be for Joe Biden particularly?
Well, I think what Joe Biden has to worry about is does this become his, email server issue for, the one that was for Hillary Clinton that the Republicans just never let up on and instilled, doubt. And then, of course, there was an investigation, the FBI investigation. So does this morph into that? You have to imagine that if Trump wants to go to the mat, he will, in fact, initiate an investigation into Hunter Biden and Biden and Ukraine. Even under these clouds, it's still possible for that to happen. So does Biden suffer the same fate as Hillary Clinton? And if that's the case, Elizabeth Warren will hint at that. Bernie Sanders will hint at that and say, we don't want that nominee because that nominee will be automatically tainted. You have to pick one of us.
Less than a minute left here. What are you going to be looking for as Congress heads into recess and into what could be a very fascinating part of the session in this impeachment saga?
I want to see whether, in terms of messaging, the Democratic Party stays on point. This is the phone call, the withholding of the aid, certainly the whistleblower report. Do they just stay on point, these things? Do they not let themselves get veered into lots of other territory? Because I think that confuses the voter. That sort of undermines the justification for impeachment. Staying on message, going home and explaining what you're doing, but keeping it to the actual acts that you can prove while he's president in the White House. That's the key challenge for the Democrats going into recess.
Wendy, thank you as always. Brown University political science professor Wendy Schiller with us this morning. Morning pointing to slight gains on Wall Street ahead of the open. S&P futures are higher by 8 points. Dow futures up 58. NASDAQ futures higher by 18 points. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.